This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, episode 18 for April 11th, 2006. Rhea. Bandwidth for Inside the Net is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. Amber MacArthur, is it warming up in Toronto yet?
It's getting pretty nice. I think I arrived home just in time from Florida because it's sunny and bearable outside. So that's good news for me.
Are people giving you the evil eye when they see your deep, dark tan?
You know, no one's really talked to me since I got back.
Yeah, so, that's what I mean.
they seem angry and frustrated.
I can't imagine why. And you're so relaxed.
I'm so relaxed. I've never been this relaxed. It's really great. And I just feel so energized. I have so many ideas. And everybody here is so tired.
I can't understand that. Well, while you were gone for a week in Florida, you know, 15 new Web 2.0 companies opened up. $38 million worth of venture capital was invested. I mean, this thing is moving fast.
I can't keep up.
You can't leave for a week. We're going to talk about face recognition today.
Yeah, we sure are. We're going to talk to Tara Hunt from Rhea, which is a new service, relatively new in the past year, that it allows you to upload photos and it analyzes your photos and allows you to really track who's in what photos. It sounds a little sort of Star Trek-ish, and Tara's going to explain how it works.
Rhea is actually a photo search engine, and we use face and text recognition to look inside of photos and automatically tag them so that you can find them later on. Currently, the only kind of image photo search that's out there sort of looks at the text and the photo, the file name, etc., and allows you to find a photo this way, that way. But Rhea actually allows you to search inside the photo, which is kind of an exciting new frontier.
So you don't have to rely on tags anymore to find photos. You can just look for the faces.
Yeah, well, what happens is with tagging is great, actually. It brought in an extra dimension of being able to sort of index your photos for searching.
That's what put Flickr on the map, basically.
Exactly. So it makes it a lot easier to find photos, but then you're also relying on, you know, people tagging the photos. And we all know that, you know, when we get a certain amount of photos, tagging becomes really daunting. So what Rhea does is it allows you to tag more of your photos quicker, basically, with the people, with, you know, various time and place. And it also recognizes text within the photos. So you can take a picture of, say, a restaurant sign. And as you're taking photos in the restaurant, it'll span that tag across the rest of your photos.
Well, that's neat. Is it just a starting point? I mean, for the tagging, do you expect people to go back in and refine and add to the tags or correct them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I find is most beautiful about tagging is the degeneracy of them, the humanness of tagging. Machines.
Is this a technical term, the degeneracy of tagging?
Yeah, well, actually, it's matter of fact, it's Clay Shirky, who's like the tag king. I guess he's been the champion of tagging for quite some time now, or for as long as tagging's been around, which hasn't been very long. The degeneracy is so basically how they grow and die, and depending on trends. So you can really start to get a beautiful context around your photos with tagging, and that can't be replaced by computers. So we still allow and encourage people to do that sort of contextual and sort of human tagging alongside the same sort of thing that you would do on Flickr, alongside the literal tagging that that Rhea does for you.
So how does it actually work? I mean, I know someone uploads a photo, and then how long does it take to actually be recognized and, you know, finding similar photos? How does the actual process work?
Okay. Well, first of all, when you sign up for Rhea, it asks you to download an uploading client. You download this client and choose sort of the photos that you want to have uploaded to Rhea. The photos what the uploader does is it looks inside the photos, finds the faces as it uploads. So it's ready for you to start training it when all your photos are online. Then you train a few faces. Say you have 100 pictures of yourself, and you train 5 of those pictures to say, you know, this is Amber, and then Rhea will go through your entire photo set, find all of the similar pictures of yourself, and tag those, and then it'll ask you, are these all Amber? And you can say yes or no, and then it's auto tagged. So it makes it a lot quicker to tag.
It's also, if it sees a face that it doesn't know, it actually will ask you, well, who's this?
Yes,
and so
absolutely.
You can enhance its database that way too.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can add as many people to your database. In the future, we're going to also allow for, currently we have it. It's just not fully functional yet, but you can go and you can say, I can say, Amber, you're my friend, and we have a lot of similar people in each of our photo sets, and I'd like to use Amber's training set for my photos. So it'll take all the training you've done and apply it to my photos and find those, who's this, and apply those names to those photos.
That sounds really cool. So yeah. How do you see people using it? Do you see them also keeping all of their photo albums on Rhea?
Well, currently Rhea is not a storage, photo storage service. We only upload actually screen resolution. We're trying to stay more definitely in the photo search space, but attaching basically what we're going to be doing is attaching your original photos, whether they're on your desktop or over at Flickr or wherever else, attaching the original photo to that search result, so that if you do want to print them or download them for use in any high-res situations, you'll actually go to wherever they're stored to do that.
That's neat. So you currently don't integrate with other systems, but you will down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're working on
that.
So
I wouldn't have
to
re-upload everything. It's all on Flickr now, but I could just point it at Flickr at Rhea or Flickr or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. We're wanting to work definitely with Flickr because of how brilliant their tagging structure is. And, you know, the fact that people that are enthusiastic about tagging and really get tagging are already there, right?
So. I like, you know, what you say is Rhea is as smart as a 2-year-old right now, right? You're warning people. It's not yet perfect. But you do say that you're going to get as smart as an adult and then smarter than an adult. What will it take to get to that point?
A lot of research. We've got a big team of really smart computer vision PhDs here on board, and they've dedicated their lives to creating a really, really smart face recognition engine. Right now, I mean, we're 2 years, and it's funny because we get a lot of comments about that. It's like, enough already. We understand that you have a long ways.
You're a 2-year-old.
It's like somebody gave us the gratuitous baby award or something. But we're really trying to put that point across. But when, you know, to get to the point at which, you know, we're recognizing people like Rhea is just like you and me, an adult, and is we're going to have to build in a lot more context to the recognition. And by that, I mean, you go to a party and you see, you know, you meet everybody, but then halfway through the party, you look across the room and you see somebody that you met earlier on, but the back is turned to you. Well, how do you know that person is who you met earlier? Well, it's because of the shirt they're wearing.
Right. Humans are very good at this, and computers are not so very good at this.
Exactly. And this is the sort of thing, I mean, there's going to be many, many, many layers of context built into the recognition because, you know, depending on the lighting or the occlusion of faces or the poses, that sort of thing, pixels aren't always the best, you know, way to define who's in a photo, right?
I read somewhere, I think it was on TechCrunch, that within 2 days you had more than 1 million photos uploaded to Rhea, and that was just fairly recently. What kind of photos are people uploading?
Mostly they're, you know, friends and family, the everyday sort of shots, outings they've been to, their kids' pictures as they're growing up. Every day, very few sort of, we don't see a lot of high art shots. I think because of the face recognition, we're seeing a lot more, a lot more just casual pictures at this point.
What about the privacy concerns? I mean, this kind of technology is being pursued by the military and government, of course, to keep an eye on citizens and in fact, they use it now. What about the issues of privacy as a private company doing this?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one because that seems to be the biggest concern that's out there. There's two levels, two pieces to that. Number one, Rhea's face recognition isn't global. In other words, when you recognize friends and yourself, so Leo, you say, this is Leo, it doesn't send that digital signature of your face into the general Rhea database of faces. So that somebody else that uploads a picture and you're in the background and it detects a face doesn't say, hey, that's Leo. It actually... they'll never be able to do that for several reasons. One, because there are so many facial combinations that it would start to confuse the recognition engine, and it would actually get really, really poor when we start to scale it. And then number two, the type of face recognition that the government is working on isn't contextually based. It's pure 3D face recognition. Here in the U.S., I went and got passport photos taken, and they don't do this here, but I remember in Canada when I had my passport taken, they have to use a special machine and line you up just perfectly and have a certain kind of lighting and has to be like within a... you can't smile and there's all these conditions. Well, that's because they're creating a sort of a 3D picture of your face so that when you walk to a border crossing, for instance, then they have a little camera there that says, yeah, this is the same person. It's only looking at your face, where Rhea's less about looking at your face and more about looking at the timestamp and the clothes you're wearing and the people you're standing with, et cetera. And this is the kind of research that would never help the CIA, for instance.
So how many people are working behind the scenes at Rhea? Because I know, how long has it been around? Not too long.
No, we've been just over a year, I guess. We've been developing the technology. I've only been here since last September. I think right now we have 33 people. Our research department is... 9 people strong. So the people that are just looking at the PhDs that are just looking at the face and text recognition.
Did it come out of university, or where did the original research come from?
Yeah, most of our guys are from Stanford. They've been developing the technology through Stanford, I guess.
And so what do you think Rhea will become down the road? I know you talked a little bit about some of the new features that are adding, but is the goal to maybe buy someone? I know there's been some rumors floating around the internet. Where do you see it heading?
I'd really like to become the place that people think of when they think of, I need to find a great photo for my blog post, or perhaps you're an ad agency and you want to find amazing stock photography, or you're looking for photos of that wedding that you went to last summer, or you're looking to see, you met somebody on a dating service and you want to do a search on
that'll probably launch it into a very popular space.
Boy, yeah.
So you can look up to see other photos, because we all know that we misrepresent ourselves on dating service photos.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
Yes.
What do they say? Men add a couple inches and women drop a few pounds.
But
so.
On the other hand, that really does raise that privacy, the specter of privacy invasion, because now I can search somewhere and find out what you really look like. That seems benign, but maybe it isn't.
Well, yes, it isn't. I mean, we're still looking at building in features so that, say, I don't want anybody to find out what I look like.
Right.
We're looking at building in features where you can put in your email address to a privacy, and it blocks people from being able to see photos with you in it, sort of thing. But I mean, that of course, it also depends on the photographer too. So, you know, who gets the say, the person that's in the photo or the photographer?
Yeah.
I know in Europe, the way they've got it set up is the person who's in the photo has ultimate say. Here, it's actually the photographer.
Oh, see, that's backwards, because I could go around taking pictures of people, putting their name in it, and posting it on Ria, and they don't have any control over that.
Now, what we do have here is the ability, though, for the people that are in the photo to dispute that, to say, you know, listen, I didn't sign a model release, for instance. You can't. Usually, it's around making money off of the photograph,
right.
But I think there is a gray area where people can, through the digital, the DMCA digital. Oh, what did I just?
Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Yes, that's the one.
Named
yes,
live
through
there.
Thank you. Yeah, so you can actually go and apply through there for a photo to be, you know, disputed. And that includes yourself being in the photo.
And what has the response been like from people who are trying this out and uploading photos? Is there, you know, are they finding it really useful, or are they finding it, you know, to be slow? Or because I know you're still in beta, and so as you mentioned, you're still a 2-year-old.
Yes, we're so beta it hurts, we like to say. It's the response has been actually pretty amazing. We've been scaling really well. We just did a general satisfaction sort of survey, got people's feedback on some of the different features, and we ended up with really great numbers. I think, you know, 90-some% of people would actually recommend it to a friend. Most people still thought, you know, we're not ready to come out of beta yet, which, you know, we kind of already knew. And the feedback was really useful in as far as, like, features to add to make, you know, the training easier. Training rate's really low. Training is gross, no matter how you put it. It's work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how long would it take to, I'm curious about the uploading process and looking at a photo. How long does that actually take?
We're saying that around 4,000 photos takes 24 hours to upload. It's a little bit slower than most photo service uploaders, but that's because it's going through the picture and looking for faces and detecting faces and rotating where necessary, whereas other uploaders will just upload the picture.
It really looks like, though, it's a company in search of partnerships, right? I mean, ultimately, this is a company that is hoping somebody will join up with you. Because, I mean, you don't want to do the storing of the photos or any of that stuff.
Exactly. So, you know, we've been talking to a lot of the different photo storage out there, the various different photo sharing companies out there, as well as other like Web 2.0 type companies. Like one of the auto tagging features that I want to see implemented that we're working on right now is the event auto tagging. So partnering up with Upcoming and Eventful and Zevents and Scobie and all the different sort of event sites that you could think of, so that people can import their events and match up the timestamp on their events with the timestamp on their camera and auto tag the events they've been to.
Wow.
So you can,
it's all going to be just automatic.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you upload your pictures and you're done. I mean, you know, everything will be known about them.
Yeah, well, that would be ideal, right? Because the lower the amount of training, the more people are going to just enjoy the search, right? So training really does suck, no matter how you look at it. Even if you make it, you know, easier, it's still training, right? It still works. So,
what about competition? Because I know Leo and I also host a show together, Call for Help on G4 Tech TV, and we had, if you remember, Leah, we had Layla in from EDA.
I do.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, Tara, and the software that they've developed, but they've gone quite far with developing photo recognition software, and I think that they've even, it's not just photos, it's images as well, and I think they've even sold it to Adobe and some other big companies. Do you see people like that as major competition?
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's like lots of companies, the big guns are working on it as we speak.
And the CIA and the NSA and the
Everybody's. I mean, this is sort of the next frontier. So we're not going to fool ourselves that we're the only ones that are going to be in this space and that it's smooth sailing for sure. I mean, we're kind of hoping that since we're sort of the first ones out the door, and we're really trying to respond to customer feedback, that we're going to be able, and we're small enough and we're startup enough, that we can respond to the feedback and implement new features as needed as quickly as possible, that we can really get ahead of the competition. And that's the hope, of course. So crossing my fingers.
And you've received quite a bit of money in funding as well. I think you've had a couple of rounds of funding. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but you've had some support.
yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we can, what's really nice about the amount of funding that we have received to date is that instead of worrying about monetizing it right now, I mean, it's a question that we always get, and I'm sure you guys will get to that too, but instead of worrying about monetizing right at this moment, we can really be concerned with creating the most kick-ass user experience possible, so that it's the destination, it's the place that people want to be.
And just so for your background is more on the design side, and I know you went to RIA, you're from Toronto originally, that's right?
Yeah, and I'm a Canadian.
And you did design work, and you have a lot of experience on the user interface side of things. So what has the transition been like in terms of going to RIA? And I think you're more on the marketing side now.
Yeah.
What has that been like?
Good. I'm actually, my background is almost pure marketing, a little bit of UI, and I've been doing more UI here than... I've been doing a lot of marketing as well. I mean, it's been very much marketing heavy, but a lot heavier on the UI than I'm used to. It's been a great experience. It's the first application of this level. It's the first startup that I've ever worked at. Even though the learning curve was high in the beginning, it's just become part of my everyday life. And I can't imagine going back to, you know, a company that's established, really.
And so you've really been immersed in Silicon Valley quite quickly then.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm absolutely loving it. And, the story that I like to tell is when I got here, the stark difference was I used to say to my boss back in Toronto, you know, you just don't get it. And I got to Silicon Valley and I, you know, now I say to my boss, you just don't get that there's people out there that don't get it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still in Toronto, so I understand where you're coming from.
She gets it and doesn't get it at the same time.
Nice.
It's remarkable.
At the same time. It's very confusing for me here.
Yeah.
No, she gets it. Amber definitely gets it.
Yes.
So, Tara, we can find out more information or anyone who wants to try it out at RIA.com. It's completely free to test it out.
Absolutely. It's absolutely free, and just go to the sign-up page from there. It's an open public beta, so anybody can sign up.
RIYA.com. It is Windows only, unfortunately, right now.
The uploader is Windows only. If you can find a Windows machine to upload your photos on, you can tag them and search them on a Mac.
Everything else can be done on the Mac. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can look at other people's pictures.
Yeah, and our Mac uploader is coming very, very soon, I promise. And I know I've been saying that forever and ever, and people are going to call me the girl who cried wolf. Actually, I think Tom Raftery already did. But definitely is very close to being completed, as is the Linux version, too.
So. Oh, I'm glad I hear that. That's good.
Yeah.
That's great. And for anyone else who wants to see you back in Toronto, I know you're coming back on May 15th and 16th, and you're keynoting the Web 2.0 conference Mesh, so I'll get to meet you in person there. That should be a good event.
Yeah, and right in the weekend before that, we're also doing BarCamp TDOT, which is going to be lots of fun, and it'll, you know, give everybody a chance to, do the Web 2.0 experience sort of all together as well, so that'll be fun.
Great. Well, I can't wait to see you, and thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah. Ditto. Thank you.
That's RIA, RIYA.com. I actually have to say, I think that they are underestimating the privacy implications of all this, and I have a feeling once people really figure out what's going on with face recognition, they might get a little nervous about it.
Yeah, you know, it makes me a little bit nervous just thinking about it. I mean, a lot of these services that are coming out, you have to really think about the privacy, because all of a sudden everything you're doing online is connected. There's, you know, services like this where people can search all your photos.
And it may not be your photo. It might be a photo somebody took of you at a party. I mean, if, you know, people entered my name into this thing and there's 100 photos, none of which are mine, I don't have any control over that.
And I think we're very accepting of all of it because we're used to this world of technology and we're excited about all the new technologies coming out. But I know just last week I was speaking to my uncle about some of the things that I've been working on and about my blog and my Flickr site and Text America site where I moblog. And he just can't believe that I put all this stuff online. He thinks I'm absolutely crazy.
Yeah, you and I are both very public. Of course, it's a little different for you because as an attractive young woman, you're more of a target for people.
Yeah, it's just a different time, I guess. And when you talk to someone who's not immersed in this world, you know, they have the sort of old school way of thinking where they are a little frightened by some of the stuff. And I think maybe they have a point. Maybe we're a little too liberal about it.
Well, you know, on the other hand, there is a huge convenience. I mean, I'd love to see something like this. What if you had this in a PDA and, you know, she mentions you meet somebody at a party and they wander off and you forget their name. What if you could just hold up the PDA to their face and say their name and everything? I mean, there was some real, it would be great to have something like this built into my brain so I remember people.
Yeah, it would really be good for those people who can't remember names at all.
Terrible,
so,
yeah.
You know, there's some great uses for it. And I think, you know, like any technology, you just have to be careful how it's used and make sure that people's privacy are respected. But generally speaking, it's pretty cool, that whole idea that, they, you know, all these photos and all these services like Flickr would all be connected. And it would really automatically tag a lot of your photos. Because personally, I hate that process of taking pictures and then managing the archiving of them. It's awful.
Right. This is also interesting in the sense that we've talked to a variety of different Web 2.0 companies on the show now, and some of them are, you know, just kind of open-ended and we're just going to do it and see what happens. Some of them are very much calculated to be sold, and this Rhea looks like a company that is just designed to be sold to somebody.
Yeah, it seems a lot like that. It seems that they're really focusing on being acquired, and so they're just, you know, be able to spend the time to think about the product, which is an ideal scenario. I worked at a startup in '99, and I think we got $17 million in funding, and we tried to focus just on the product as well, but we forgot about marketing. We forgot about, you know, really getting the name out there, what we did, and we ended up just wasting away all the money. So I think there's got to be a good balance in that world.
Well, Tara's clearly, you know, doing a good job marketing React, because the name has been on everybody's lips over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's all over the place. So they've done a great job. And, you know, their site's really friendly. And it's got that Web 2.0 look that is so popular right now. And hopefully they'll be able to ride out this wave.
I think we've all learned our lessons from the 90s. Maybe we were not making the same mistakes. Let's hope the second time around.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's great to talk to you, Amber. We'll have another show next week. Actually, we're going to take off next week because it's Easter week.
It's
so
Easter.
We'll take a week off. And in fact, I think all the Twit podcasts are going to take a little break. At first, I thought, oh, no, we can never stop doing the podcast. And I realized, oh, no, actually, people welcome it because they have a lot to catch up on. You know, and you get a backlog of podcasts. So I think what we're going to do is every 3 or 4 months, we'll do a podcast catch-up week, which gives you all a chance to catch up on your podcast listening to all those great podcasts you have on your iPod, but you haven't listened to yet.
So yeah, that's a really good idea.
I'm declaring next week podcast catch-up week.
You know what? We're not going to do Command End next Monday either. So,
good. There you go.
We'll just follow what Twit does, and we'll all declare it.
It's spreading like wildfire.
You've started a trend.
Actually, I just want to play Second Life more, and that's we're going to the Grand Canyon next week, actually. We're going to take a little vacation.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Good for you. So you'll be in warm weather, too.
No, it's freezing up there. It's actually colder there.
Cold?
Yeah, I think it's colder there. I know that the North Face isn't even open until the summer.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. We're taking a train. It'll be fun, a train.
So you'll be back in Toronto in time for patio weather.
I hope. It better be patio weather.
It sure will be, Leo.
All right. Thank you, Amber MacArthur.
Thanks, Leo.
Great to talk to you. Thanks to our good friends at AOL Radio for providing the bandwidth for this podcast at AOL.com/podcasting. And thanks to you for your support. All along, we couldn't have the Twit Network without your great support, your listening, of course, but also your donations at twit.tv. Just click those donation links on the right. They help keep this show and all the other Twit shows alive and help us develop new programming as well. thisweekintech.com or, simply enough, twit.tv. I'm Leo Laporte for Amber MacArthur. Take a week off next week. We'll see you on the, let's see, that'd be the 25th on Inside the Net.